The following programming is sponsored by Mancini Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Marianne Castello, and Danielle Orsino. Talking sports, entertainment, and hot topics. Let's get the conversation started on Liberty Bell Smack, right here, right now.
And we are here on Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB AM Talk 860. And we're here from 6 to 7 p.m. That's prime time drive time for you folks in the East. And you can listen to us five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune in to WWDB AM Talk 860. You're not in Philly, no worries. We got you covered on HD2 radio station 97.5. Or you can listen to us anytime, anywhere on the WWDB radio app. Or go to WWDBAM.com, click Listen Live, and better yet, you could call the Listen or talk to us at 888-329-3306. And I am your host, Marianne Castello. I'm a board-certified holistic health practitioner and a licensed massage therapist. And I am a best-selling, award-winning, critically acclaimed author. And I travel the world with Nectar, the legendary rock band. I'm sure you hear all about it on the shows. But enough about me. I see my other host sitting in the green room, and she's got a string of awards under her belt. She's a celebrated fantasy novelist, and her compelling word-weaving pays homage to a multitude of personal muses, from Chris Claremont and George Perez to Anne Rice, Jim Henson, and even Wonder Woman. Let's welcome our host, Danielle Orsino. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Marianne. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. We also have our chosen producer in the house, too. We might hear from him every now and again. And you can see us on Facebook Live, and you can find us on the WWDB page or the Liberty Bell Smack page. And you can even see our chosen producer right now. He's here. He's not incognito. So if you hear the voice, now you get a face with the name. So happy. And I do know that our Where's Waldo moment with Mark, he was just here a minute ago, but some technological problems, so I'm sure he'll be on in a few minutes.
Definitely. He likes to make an entrance. You know how he is, Marianne. He likes to, you know, come in and be like, I'm here. And we all have to, you know, be like, he's here. You know how it goes.
He's like a woman. He likes to be fashionably late.
Exactly.
That's what I think it is. You know, before he gets on, because I know you're going to hear a lot of turmoil about this, but I see right now that you are in your Giants, your New York Giants gear, looking very hot, I might add, in this. Are you ready for tonight's game?
I can't wait. I got my turkey burgers. I got my curly fries, my diet cream soda. I'm ready to go. That's my Giants good luck meal. Every time they play, that's what I have. I make turkey burger, curly fries, got to be curly fries. And I feed him to Carlos, my Yorkie, but my husband doesn't know that. Like, I kind of go under the table because he likes curly fries too. I don't care what anybody says. He loves curly fries. So we share it, and then we watch the game, and it's the Cowboys tonight, or as I like to call them, the Crap Boys. And we have a very good time, you know, heckling. So we're going to go after Dak after he got all that money and he's blown the last couple games. You know, I mean, not that I have room to talk. I mean, Danny Dimes is my guy, but at least he won one. At least we won last week. So, you know, there's something. But like I said, next year's our year. So, yeah, I'm just going to have a good time tonight. Just sit back, watch my game, and be happy. But I will say this. Good job, Saquon, again. 65-yard TD, rushing TD against the Saints. Nicely done. And he's right now the leading rusher in the NFL. So I still, you know, I know the Giants fans are telling him to be quiet, you know, after he gave the shout out to Malik and stuff, but Saquon to me is still a Giant. Sorry, Philly, but we got him first. We had him first, you know, so I'm very proud of him. I'm just going to say, I'm still very proud of Saquon, and I will still wear my Saquon jersey.
This goes out to all of our Giant fans.
It is so fun, the Giant fight song, one of these days.
Well, apparently this is our official anthem. I must have put in the wrong theme then. Let me grab that in a little bit. 1 second.
I was going to say, are we listening to Sleeping Beauty's waltz?
I don't know. When you search on YouTube, that's apparently their anthem.
Wow. That's not good. Yeah, that's not good. I like when the guy redid OPP, You Down With JPP, like years ago when we made it to the Super Bowl. I thought that was done much better, and I would rather actually use that as our song. You know, but...
Not Go Big Blue?
It's hard to say. We don't have... Go Big Blue, but it's like, it's not really a... Like, we hear that, but I want a good song. But Marianne, can Richie get on?
He's not here right now. He was here a minute ago, but he probably could write us a new fight song, no doubt.
Yeah, I need one with, you know, a little Go Big Blue, like Giants fight song in there for us. You know, something to get us going on game day, like for the revenge game. That's what we'll do.
That's what she wanted. Yeah. Song for revenge.
Yes, yes, we'll do something for that. Tyler, we're going to have to make bets on that. We got, you know, we'll do like the old cheesecake Philly steak thing. You know, we'll do something like that. We got to do something for that game. We got to get like the, you know, everybody involved, listeners involved, everything. It's going to be a big day.
Of course, we'll make a full watch party out of it if it's happening at the same time.
We'll have to do something. We're going to have to do something for that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We're going to have to, you know, we'll commiserate. Figure it out. Get it going.
Unbelievable. But you know what? The way I look at it is, mm-hmm. I remember, like, you know, when you have your rivalries, even when the Jets play the Giants,
yes,
you know, which team in that case would you root for? You're still going for the Giants?
Oh, 100%.
So like you are a diehard Giants fan.
Cut me and I bleed blue. Yeah, it's even in my books, like, people have always said, why do the Fae bleed, you know, bleed blue? Is it because they think it's like some deep thing? And I'm like, nah, I'm just a Giants fan. I would like to say it's something deeper than that, but it's no, that was like my little Giants nod. My Fae bleed blue because of the Giants. That's it. So yes, now I'm a diehard fan. My principal in my high school, my assistant principal played for the Giants, Mr. Perry. So yes, I'm a diehard fan since I can't even remember, since at least, oh gosh, since sixth grade was when I really kind of got into it, because my science teacher figured out I was dyslexic. So he taught me math through football, watching the New York Giants. That's how, yeah, quarterback.
So that's why you are the fan of the New York Giants.
They showed me I wasn't dumb, to be honest with you, because my math teacher thought I was stupid. He gave up on me. It was my science teacher, Mr. Willman, who was like, she's not dumb and she's not lazy. He's like, I can get through to her. So he started teaching me math through football stats. So he would give me an assignment and he'd be like, go watch the game and count how many passes Sims throws and come back and give me the number. And I would do that. And then he'd be like, okay, now next week, I want you to count how many he throws, how many attempts, how many are caught. And we would just, and he'd keep building on it. So that's how I learned football. And then they went to the Super Bowl that year. And he gave me, by the end, he had, you know, figured out all the stats, and that's what we did. So by the Super Bowl, there was all these other things. And he was like, you're not dumb. He's like, you just need a different way to learn. And he figured out I was dyslexic. So, you know, it was kind of cool. And even when I went to nursing school, I went back to that when I did dosage calculations and stuff. I went right back to watching the Giants and kind of figuring out ratio proportions and all that. So yeah, I kind of owe the Giants in a way, and Mr. Willman.
So here's the question. Now that you learned how to do all the sports stats because of this, so do you actually invest in little white tickets for every game and then just put some money onto the game?
No, because I'm still dyslexic and I would still like mess it up somehow. So no, I don't do that. I would like to, but no, I'm not, you know, I don't want to make that mistake because, you know, I've made some mistakes before with my dyslexia. Like, you know, even in my books, King Jarvok was originally written as Farjuk. That's how I wrote him because I handwrite. And then when I went to the computer, he became Jarvok. Simple dyslexic moment. So No, you can't trust me to do anything when it comes to that stuff. I'm the last person. That's like if I'm in the OR, you don't want me marking right or left leg. Nonetheless, something needs to be amputated. I'm not the one you want marking it. I'll tell you right now. That has been, I am directionally dyslexic. I read dyslexic. If you tell me to make a right, I will make a left. It's just guaranteed. My Taekwondo instructor gave me a bow once. He gave me a weapon once. Stood to my right, and he was like, okay, so you're going to take the staff, and you're going to go to your left. And I went right to my right and smacked the man. And he was like, okay, let's try that again. Did it three times in a row, and finally he just took it away. He went, okay, this isn't the weapon for you, and put it down. So, yeah, no, you don't want me. Mm-mm.
No. Because our other co-host, who's having internet problems and has written that to us, so he's not here, but he's like known as the world's worst handicapper, Mark Mancini.
Yes, I had heard that, but
world's
wasn't
worst
sure.
handicapper. But I never actually went to him to ask, who do you think is going to win a game? And I've never put money on a game to see if it's.
He's actually pretty good. When we've done Moving the Chains, he's pretty good with stuff. I have to say, this year, like this season, I have not been as on as I was last season. Last season I was pretty good. This season, no, I've been horrible with my calls. But he's been pretty good with his. So I would trust. But then again, I say that now. And the minute I say it and you listen to him, he's probably going to take a nosedive. So don't listen to me at all. Just ignore me.
Well, then he might not be the world's worst handicapper. Maybe just like half a continent.
I think it depends on the week, the day.
And he's not here to defend himself. So I can sit here and talk about
it right now.
You know, I just know that, you know, and he's saying right now he's having problems getting back on. So that's why we're missing him. And he has no plan to defend himself right now. So, Mark, if you are listening, you are the world's worst handicapper. Although Danielle's coming to your defense for this week anyway, for this week.
You see, I'm not so bad, Mark. I did defend you. Yeah, be nice to me.
Well,
I'll hear about it later. I'm sure. I'll get a Ryan Reynolds comment or something.
If he gets on and he sees what you're wearing, that's all you have to do. Because when he sees your Giants getup that you have on right now, and for those folks listening and you don't see it, you can see it on Facebook Live right now of what I'm talking about with Danielle here sporting her little gear. The question, because he's not here, so I'm going to ask it. Please don't shoot me for this one.
Nope, that's okay. But
is, you remember we were talking about pajamas and you were talking about like the underoos type of thing?
Yeah.
Do you have like a Giants underoos now too? For the Giants.
Yes,
you do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I kind of seen that coming, so I had to ask that you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Well, at least you have your favorite team. And if you've gone that far for an underoos, then I know they're your favorite team.
Yes, I do. It's bad. Yep. It's bad. I mean, it's not Wonder Woman level bad collection wise or anything like that. But it's bad.
But at least at least one thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, okay. Yep, see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have all my jerseys and yeah, it's, you know, but it's okay. It's different because I have not physically met Linda Carter. So I have met members of the Giants and they've all been, except one, Deke Barber, they've all been very nice to me. Deke's an idiot, but everybody else has been very, very nice to me. So, you know, there's that. Linda, I have not met. Linda and I have had a moment at a concert. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like, I have my collection with Wonder Woman. I have like my whole Wonder Woman thing. The New York Giants are different, but they're more attainable than like the Queen. You know, Linda's like, she's up there. It's Wonder Woman, you know? And then there's the Giants. So it's just, you know, it's just a different fan base, I think. It's a different fandom, as our chosen producer would say.
Yes, he would.
Of course.
I have a story about Linda Carter. When we come back, because we have to sit there and listen to our sponsors that are part of the Liberty Bell Smack family here in Philly. And Danielle and I, Marianne Costello on Liberty Bell Smack, along with our chosen producer, Tyler, because he's coming in and out. Sometimes you hear a voice, sometimes you see him. It just depends on the moment. He's keeping us guessing today, but we will be right back right after this.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup.
Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Get ready to tantalize your taste buds at Luigi & Giovanni, your one-stop shop for authentic Italian flavors. Delis, bakery, catering, it's all here under one roof. From savory deli delights to heavenly pastries and phenomenal catering, we've got you covered. Luigi & Giovanni, where passion meets Italian perfection. Visit us today at 3601 Chapel Road and experience the taste of Italy at Luigi & Giovanni. Give us a call at 610-353-4014.
Hi, this is author and writer Scott Molesky. When I'm in Philadelphia, I run the Rocky Steps and I listen to Liberty Bell Smack.
And we are back on Liberty Bell Smack for some lip smack and trash talk in good Philadelphia style. But I want to say, Danielle, we want to stay connected. We want to stay entertained, and we do want to get the conversation started. So we are opening up the phone lines right now. You can call to talk to Danielle, myself, and if Mark comes back on, that'll be great too. But you could call and talk to us at 888-329-3306. Again, it's 888-329-3306. So, Danielle, as I promised, may he rest in peace, but he was a Grammy Award winning producer and arranger for Gladys Knight's Midnight Train to Georgia. And he apparently, from what I understand, for a long time had dated Linda Carter. And there's pictures of him in a Superman costume that one of his dear, dear friends, almost like his daughter, found. And she's in the costume, you know, they're in the costume, but he's dressed up like Superman and all. And he dated her for a long time. Yes.
Wow.
Years.
That I did not know.
Yes. So, you know, I'm sure that if you really want to meet her, I could reach out to some people because, you know, they
I would die.
Still
yes.
There.
I would die. Yes.
Can't promise
yes,
you anything, but I mean,
yeah.
He would do that.
I would die.
So, you know, that's a shout out to our buddy Tony. And he was very into Linda Carter for a long time. Long time.
I would die. I had a client meet her at a wedding twice. And so when I was personal training, so the first time she met her, she was like, look, you know, one of my trainers loved, like, went through the whole thing. And so she said, and they knew they were going to see each other at a wedding in a couple weeks. So she said, if I get a letter, can I give it to you? And Linda was like, of course, whatever. So I wrote this whole letter and then Lori forgot it in the hotel room. So she went up to her and she was like, look, and she explained the whole thing. So she said, can I read it to you? Like when I get back to my hotel room, like I'll open it and read it to you. So then Linda took the picture with, and you know, the one that I have here that says, hi, Danny, sorry, I missed you. And then she hand wrote me a letter that said, you know, to Danny, carry on the tradition. My tiara has been passed, which is framed. And it's like one of my greatest things ever. And so then years and years later, she was on tour singing and she went to, I think it was Lincoln Jazz Hall, which is a very, very small venue. It's only, I think, 200 people. And it was right before Halloween. So I thought, it's New York City. Of course, everybody's going to be dressed up.
Right.
I show up to the concert, Wonder Woman out head to toe. Because I'm like, oh, everybody will be dressed up. It's like I said, it was a couple days before Halloween. It's New York City. We'll all be there.
Right.
Full corset, tiara, bracelet, the whole thing. No one is dressed up. I'm the only idiot walking around dressed up. And I'm like walking around. My husband's like, oh my God. And he's got his head down. And I'm like, I thought, and I'm just looking around like, no, there's not even a t-shirt, not even a Wonder Woman t-shirt. And I'm like, oh, but I'm already here. There's nothing I could do. So some old couple turns around and was like, that's disgusting. Cause I got the corset on. I'm like, and I'm like, she's my hero. Shut up. And cause I'm just like, I'm just going to sit down. Middle of the concert. She starts like looking and she's doing like her hands up and she's looking. And so all of a sudden she's like, stop, turn the house lights up. And I'm like, oh, somebody in trouble, you know? And she's like, there's somebody here dressed like me. And I'm like, oh, thank God there's another idiot. And I just take a big deep. Yeah. And my husband's like, and he just knows right away. So he just looks at, he's like, oh, here we go. She's like, can you please stand up? And so I start looking around. I'm like, okay, who is it? And he's like, it's you. I'm like, no, the queen wouldn't address me. She's like, stand up, sweetie. And I'm still looking around. And he's like, stand up. And so I slowly, and I'm waiting for somebody else to like beat me to the punch. So I'm standing up really slow. And she's like, you look beautiful. I love it. DC Comics is in the front row. They all stand up and turn around to look at me. And she does the bracelets back at me. And then she twirls. I busted out crying. Aww. Right then and there. I was just like, oh my God. Cried right then and there. She was just like, I love it. The whole thing. And then I sat down and I was on cloud nine for the rest of it. Then everybody wanted to take a picture with me. I'm like, yeah, all you people made fun of me when I first walked in, whispering thing. Now you want a picture. Mm-hmm. I see how it goes. So,
well,
yeah.
I was going to ask you if the tears were from just joyous meeting your idol, or was it because fight or flight syndrome has now calmed down because you were the only one there?
God. It was more like, oh my God, the queen is like that was my dream. And then she shouted me out on Instagram and I was like, I'm done. I can die now. I'm a happy girl. Like, just, it's all come true. I'm finished. Thank you very much. Yep. I was done. Yep. That
there
was
you
it.
Go.
Yeah. I'm happy.
There's nothing like meeting your idol. I want to know if anybody out there has ever met their idol. And if they did, were you able to talk to them when you met them? Or were you so starstruck, nothing came out of your mouth? And I want to hear that from people. So if you could call us at 888-329-3306.
Yeah, I'd like to know that. That's a good question.
I want to know if there's anybody out there, have you ever met your idol? And if you did, it's almost like those Disney commercials. Did you ever see the little child? I'm going to go see Mickey Mouse. I'm going to meet Mickey Mouse. And then when he does, he's like, his mouth is wide open.
And the eyes are this big.
The eyes are big and nothing comes out of his mouth. Like that, depending on the idol, that could be me. I don't know for sure.
Have you ever met your idol or somebody like you were just like, wow, I really look up to this person?
Yes.
Anything?
But I stayed like at, you know, like when you stay at a distance because you don't know what they'll think of you or say, and now you're back at it in hindsight going, I should have just went up and said something. Like for instance, many years ago, I was invited, Rosie O'Donnell had a talk show in New York.
Yep.
And I was invited there and by a friend, and we were sitting in the audience and they have this band that would get everybody hyped up and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, my friend is like, oh, she sings. And she's pointing at me. I wanted to cry, right? So they come running over with a microphone, right? And they're like, well, what do you want to sing? And I'm trying to think, let's do something to keep everybody up. So I'm like, I don't know. Do you know Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive? Something like that, you know? So they start doing it and I start singing along. And next thing you know, like you see the curtains open up and I see her head pop out and they're like, she wants to know who you are. Like, come back there. So I go back behind stage and in the green room that day, the guests were Lauren Bacall. You had Eric LaSalle, that was from ER at the time.
Yes.
That series. You had Emilio Estevez. He had come out with the movie and you had Garth Brooks.
Wow.
And I just remember I'm sitting back there. They're giving me a little swag bag with this like little purple Rosie O'Donnell spinner, you know, and all that stuff for doing this. And they're like, you have a great voice, blah, blah, blah. This is fantastic. We didn't know. And all I kept doing is I wanted to go into that room and I was in the room next to it, like to say, hi, it's me. I'd like to do it. But then Lauren Bacall, like she came out and she's like, hi, you know, how are you? I said, oh, Mary. She's, were you the girl that was just singing? I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, it was really good. It was really cool. And she came over and she was very pleasant. And then Eric LaSalle was very pleasant. Emilio Estevez waved and they said hello. The one who didn't say hello was Garth Brooks.
He
was so self-centered that, and I used to love his song, like Friends in Low Places and all that. Mm-hmm. And after what I seen he was doing backstage that day, I was kind of like, I don't know if I really like you anymore. And I used to, and I know that's unfair, but like, I like people like that are humble, you know? Yes. Mm-hmm. You've gotten to success, but be nice to people. It wasn't just me. It was everybody, you know, that's what got me, you know? And so I wish that day I would have walked and said, hey, I know you. Cause I used to watch ER all the time. So, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, Eric LaSalle, why are you such a jerk on that show all the time? I know it's what he plays, but you know, I'm like, I want to know. You're just so mean all the time, you know, but it's just one of those things like,
that's awesome. That was
great. it was an awesome experience. So that was my brush of fame that day that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget my friend who took me there. You know, it was just, and I said to her on the way home, I said, I could have killed you for doing that, you know? And she's like, yeah, but well, I'm sitting outside in the audience. You're backstage. So what do you care? You know? So it was fun. But speaking of backstage, because I'm still waiting for those phones to ring at 888-329-3306. But we have our family of sponsors still wanting to hear the message in Philly. So here we are. We'll be back right after this.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hey Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup. Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Greatest bathroom shrine in the world wants the hottest Philly sports talk. I check out the Liberty Bell Smack.
And we are back on Liberty Bell Smack, where we're staying connected, staying entertained, and getting the conversation started right here on Liberty Bell Smack. Now, Danielle, I got to tell you, I ran into some good fortune today.
You did.
Yes. And I have to talk about this because I don't know if anybody out there has done this, but you always listen to your gut. You have to listen to your gut. Well, I almost didn't. So I'm in a parking lot, a store parking lot today, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I was like, and I get out of the car and face down is a scratch-off game lottery ticket in the car. I'm, you know, on the ground. Ooh. So I kept looking at it and I'm like, everybody throws their losers out, you know, not going to bother, right? And then as I'm putting the trunk down, it's like the wind got it a little bit and it just like kind of fluttered a little bit. And I was like, I start walking to the store and something's, Marianne, just go back and check that card. So I checked the card and nobody scratched it off. So I admit, I go in the car and I throw it in my front seat for now. I come back, I get back to the house and I scratch it. It was a $5 card of the lottery. Mm-hmm. And no, I did not get any of the matching numbers. However, they had a bonus box that if you reveal a $25 symbol, you win automatically. Well, I revealed the $25 symbol and I won automatically.
Dude, yes. Seriously?
Seriously. I mean, for those people that are watching. So I'm sorry if you lost your card in the parking lot and I found it, but I thank you for your generous gift if the angels brought it to me. But yes, I did. It revealed the 25 and I was so excited. I matched nothing else on the card, but I was like, I couldn't believe it. And it was just the way it was happening, you know? And what's funny is one of the first winning numbers is number 13, which is my lucky number. But of course, it didn't match the numbers. But it was just the way it was. It just was backwards.
Like and it was like, pick me up.
Yeah,
please,
it really was. And I was just like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. So I'm very proud to say I'm $25 happier. And I'm telling you, folks, if you don't do this, you know, sometimes just go there and flip things over. Yeah. You might just be your lucky day. And
that's
I did
listening to your gut.
Which means now I get to go cash this in. I would have never dreamt that that was a win. You know, I came home. You know how you're talking and you're like, I'm just going to scratch this. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God. So I was so excited about it. So that was my story of my good luck that says, listen to your gut. And I was halfway to the store, you know, in the from the parking lot from where my car was halfway to the store. I'm like, no, I got to just go back. And I was ready to see that it was all scratched and it was like probably a loser or something, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
Nothing was scratched. It was just there. Like
that was meant for you.
That's what I think. Cause there was nobody at that point. Cause it was early in the day. There was hardly anybody in that parking lot, you know? And there was nobody standing outside their car to say, is this yours? Is this yours? There was nobody out there. So I was like, okay, I found it. okay, it's going in my car. And
totally meant for you then.
So whatever angel left that for me, thank you. That I am saying thank you. Yes. I was so excited about that. So that just knows now I have to go cash it in and just happy.
That's awesome though. That stuff like that, I think it's when it happens, yes, you just have to kind of thank the universe and know something bigger is at work for whatever reason. You know, you just don't know the link in the chain. But I think that's just, that's so cool. I need somebody to drop some cash like that. Yeah. Okay. You could leave that outside for me, universe. You could, wherever it is, who's ever listening, you could do that for me. I'm open. I am open to receive.
It's See, there you go. And I'm like that. Like my grandfather used to be like that. Like he would walk and he always would walk with his head down. He would find quarters, pennies, dimes. He would find money everywhere. You know, I think the most I ever found is, it was funny. I was walking down a street one day and all of these little dollars, it was green, you know, and they were blowing in the wind. And I was picking up a dollar here, I came to like $9, but still the fact that they were dollars in the middle of a street, you know, that nobody knows. And they were like, almost like they were blowing towards me. I was like, thank you. Thank you. I was like,
abundance. This,
you know, yep. I was like, oh my God, this is great. I was having so much fun, you know?
My husband found $100 once in a CVS on a shelf. Just like, and he was just, and I was like, oh, should we turn it in? He looked at me, he's like, no, they're dumb enough. No. And I was like, but he's like, no. He's, and he just looked at me. He's like,
because you know what? You're going to go turn it in.
He's like, shh.
No.
He's like,
you're going to turn that in and that person may take it for themselves. You mean, like, I've seen people do that where I've tried to do the right thing and I've done that. And then I'm like handing it in and then they're like, oh, well, thank you.
Like, yeah.
Well, like, if I knew you were going to do that, I would put it to good use, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Good use as in me, my charity. So, you know, that would have been just fine.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I would think so.
It was meant for you, meant for me, whatever, you know, I'm all good with that. You know what I was thinking though, during the break, I forgot. I did meet one other person. I met Christopher Reeve.
Ah, Superman himself.
I met him and he called me Wonder Woman. Yep. Ah. When I was younger, I met him at a stationery store I worked at as a teen. And I didn't recognize him because he had blonde hair, long. He must have just been coming off a movie. I don't know what he was, you know, doing at the time that he would have long blonde hair, but it was to his shoulders. And he was picking up stationery and I did not recognize him. And I must have been having a bad day because I remember kind of being a little snotty. Like he was just like, he said his name and I was like, what? You know, I was like, how do you spell it? And then I looked up and I was like, and he spelt it and he spelled his last name and I was looking at it and kind of like gave me this look like, duh, but it had a horse on it. Like it was a horse stationary, you know, he's riding and I was just like, oh, it was just one of those. Let me go get that. Hold on one sec. You know, it was just like, you kind of like take the words back in and I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me go get that for you. You know, and it came out and like, I had to show it to him and everything. And I was like, sorry, long day, you know. But he was a big dude. Like, like I remember having to lift like my head all the way up to look at him.
Right.
And then I started calling him Mr. He was like, you don't have to call me Mr. And I just looked at him, I was like, you can call me Wonder Woman. And he was like, okay. And he just, and I was like, that worked. All right.
And he was
super, super nice. He was just super sweet. And I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, I did meet him and I stalked Christian Bale once because he was getting his hair cut at some shishi store. I forgot the name of it in LA. And he was getting his hair cut. Like it was right when he got Batman. It had been announced he would play Batman in the window. And so I went in front of it and I was like, hey, what's this? He's like, it's Batman. At this point, like I met Superman. I want to meet Batman. So, you know, that was it. So I was just like, you know, and then they closed the curtains on me because I did like the walking down the stairs thing and, you know, like stupid stuff like that. Cause it's just, yeah. And they closed the curtains. They were like, you need to leave. And it was Fred Siegel. That's where he was getting it done. And I was like, okay. But yeah, then security came out and they were like, you need to go. And I was like, oh, all right. I'm like, but it's Batman. And they were just like, we don't care. And then I tried but I got a Wonder Woman. I'm Wonder Woman. They were like, yeah, no, get out. And I left pretty quick because security guard was kind of big. So yes, I've met members of the Justice League.
There you go. And talking about the Justice League, we have our own Justice League right here in Philly. And when we come back, it's time for Hot Topics. It's going to be that time for Hot Topics.
And I got one.
Again, you have one. So we'll be back right after this. I'm Marian Castell along with Danielle Arcino, and we'll be back with more of Liberty Bell Smack right after this.
Get ready to tantalize your taste buds at Luigi & Giovanni, your one-stop shop for authentic Italian flavors. Delis, bakery, catering, it's all here under one roof. From savory deli delights to heavenly pastries and phenomenal catering, we've got you covered. Luigi & Giovanni, where passion meets Italian perfection. Visit us today at 3601 Chapel Road and experience the taste of Italy at Luigi & Giovanni. Give us a call at 610-353-4014.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body, service done right.
Hi, I'm Bob Walters, host of Locked Up Sports. And when I'm in Philadelphia, I listen to Liberty Bell Smack.
We are back on Liberty Bell Smack for some lip smack and trash talk in good Philadelphia style. We'd love to hear from you at 888-329-3306. And we have our chosen producer. He has shown back up, which is great because right now it's time for our Hot Topics. What is your Hot Topic of the week, Danielle?
Okay, well, first, I just have to give a little shout out to Ultimate Gym in Belmont, North Carolina, Doug. Because I just heard from him. I had left North Carolina to come back to New York, and Doug was my Muay Thai coach down there, and he got a new facility. So Ultimate Gym, if you're in North Carolina and you're in the Belmont area and you want to learn some Muay Thai and some boxing, definitely go see Doug. So I know Doug's listening. So hi, Doug. I miss you guys. But I'm going back to the superhero thing. Sorry. Okay. I know we talked a lot of superheroes today, and this just happens to fit in, but they have finally made a casting choice, in Green Lantern. They're doing a new show called Lanterns. We're not going back to the movie. We're just going to do James Gunn is, you know, retooling the whole DCU and whatever he's doing. So he's doing a HBO Max Lanterns show. And they have decided to cast Hal Jordan as Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights. So he's an Emmy Award winning actor. He will be the new Hal Jordan. He's kind of doing this whole grizzled older Hal who has to take a young John Stewart under his wing, and they're doing a true detective style interstellar galactic kind of cop show, buddy cop but more serious. And so he is the new Hal Jordan. They have not yet cast John Stewart. John Stewart's going to be the main focus. Mm-hmm. But we don't know if this will transfer over into the movies, because Nathan Fillion is Guy Gardner, who is another Lantern. We don't know if this is going to transfer over. He has not said, but he has officially signed on. Josh Brolin was the original choice. He turned it down because he's Thanos and Cable in the Marvel universe. He said no. Chris Pine was the second choice. But for whatever reason, that just didn't pan out. Don't know why. I think Chris Pine actually would have been pretty good. So Kyle Chandler has stepped in, and he will officially take the role over when they start filming. Don't know when that begins, but that is what is set right now. Variety's reporting, and so is Hollywood Reporter.
And so is Danielle.
I'm not sure how I feel about it right now, but I'll have to give him a shot. That's not who I picture for Hal Jordan. Because Ryan Reynolds played him. You see, it always comes back to Ryan Reynolds.
Mark must be
smile.
Of Kevin Bacon, it's 6 degrees of Ryan Reynolds. That's the new game. That's the game we've just invented. And Kevin Bacon, I'm sorry, we got to move you to the side right now. Ryan Reynolds is taking over. It's always back to him.
That's our favorite game here on Liberty Bell Smack, trying to get closer to Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly. So how can we do it? We just did it. I just did it in like three jumps. So yes.
If anybody could see us live right now to see the look on Tyler's face, it's absolutely priceless as you went through that whole entire thing.
I know he wants to comment. I know
he does. Like, he's got that look on his face. That's what's making me think that. Do you think it's all a good choice, Tyler?
I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, NCIS Space Buddies is a very good option for a show, obviously.
Okay.
I feel like you guys are speechless.
I don't know. It's just, I want to see who they get for John Stewart. Like, I think that's going to kind of be part of all this. And are they going to make it really serious? Or is this going to be kind of like, you know, another 48 hours? Like, you know, what are we getting here? Like, is this Rush Hour? What's it going to be?
If I could actually suggest somebody, there is that one actor that plays, that actually acts off of Nathan Fillion in that one rookie show or whatever that he does. He might be good for it. He's, you know, he does the inexperienced, cop or whatever pretty well. So
that's, yeah, there's a couple. I think it just kind of depends on where they're going to go. Are they going to make it really gritty, or are we going to get like some levity? I think I don't know where Gunn is going. But then again, I don't get what he's doing. I mean, he's also still talking that he hasn't decided what he's doing with the Themyscira show, and it's going to be Game of Thrones with Amazons. And I'm like, okay, dude, you know, how do you do a show about Themyscira and not mention Wonder Woman at all? Like, okay, are we going to see like Hippolyta like making some play or getting it on with Zeus? I don't know what's happening there. So,
probably the best option would be to just keep that in the background or anything like that. Like, leave that for a season two if they get picked up or whatever, but as like a drama piece or whatever. But, you know.
Yeah, we got to see. I got to see what's happening there. You know, I don't know. We're going to have to see. Marian, what's your hot topic before Tyler and I go down a rabbit hole of superheroes and we will not come out of it?
This is bad. Do you remember Woodstock, the Woodstock Festival?
Yes.
Please tell me you know Woodstock, where they were all around listening to music. It was back in 1969, okay? I'm sure you have to, it's like a historic thing. But people, by the mass, would stop by this towering red maple leaf tree. And it was like a little ways off the main stage. And people would leave these messages on paper scraps or cardboard and attach them to the old tree trunk. And some of them would say, Susan, meet you here Saturday at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., or 7 p.m. One note was left there. And it later became known as the message tree at Woodstock. And another, there was a woman named Candy Cohen, was told to meet the girls back at the hotel. They found that on the tree trunk. And then they have Dan wrote on a paper plate to this girl, Cindy, that says he's sorry he was too, quote unquote, untogether to ask for her address, but left his number. Now, 55 years after Woodstock, the message tree was cut down today under the rainy skies of today, Wednesday, due to its poor health and safety concerns. And the owners of the renowned concert, they were reluctant to lose like a living symbol of the community forged. And I think it's in Bethel, New York, you know, that.
Yeah.
Woodstock was. And they said the operators at Bethel Woods Center for the Arts feared that more than 100-year-old tree, which was in a publicly accessible area, was in danger of falling down. But now they have plans to honor its legacy. They said when they tore it down, it was like watching a loved one pass. Almost like watching in the age before cell phones, this tree was kind of the information booth that helped people in the festival Sea of Humanity connect with each other. And it's been noted since then that it stood as a tangible link to historical events, and it drew more than 400,000 people every year to see this tree. And now they had to cut it down. So my question to you is, if you had a tree and you could carve something into it or leave a note, what would your message actually say? If you were like, say, at a Woodstock event and you're trying to meet somebody, you want to put a message on that tree, what would it say?
Chaos be with you. the dark fae blessing. Because then you know it's me. Chaos be with you. You would know at that point, it's me. Who else is going to wish chaos, you know, on
right.
you? So yeah, chaos be with you. That would be, you'd know at that point it's coming from me. Yep, yeah, that's what I would say.
That's what you would say.
Yeah.
Yes. Tyler's got a look on his face. Would you leave a note for somebody?
Above that, I'd have to put, you know who you are. Just to be that pedantic.
Yes, to do it.
But it's unbelievable to me that like something 55 years old and they still had some notes that were still, you know, that were carved into the trunk of the tree. And they really had a bad time, you know, taking it down because it was like a human being after all these years.
What would your note have been, Marianne?
Oh, I'd probably be thinking about somebody else. Like if you really were on the grounds and I've seen people on festival grounds before, I'd probably like say for a good time call. And not me. I would use somebody else's name.
Wait a minute. No.
That's probably what I would do. You know, I'd have to be like a jokester about it. I know it was a serious
thing. Good time
tree.
Call Mark Mancini? That Mark's number?
Get your pen and papers ready, folks. We got the number. He's probably like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Unless
it
looked really good.
Not having a good connection. Don't worry about it. You won't get through anyway.
I'm sorry. I could just see him. No, don't you do that.
Oh, he's yelling right now somewhere. My name is getting cursed right now. But that's okay. He's done. He gets on himself. We're good.
Oh, my God. We are so good. I mean, I just thought that was special. Like, that's my hot topic. Yeah. I was like, I know some people aren't into trees, but I am actually. I like trees. But I thought that was really special because I never even knew the tree really existed in Woodstock.
I had no idea.
And I just thought it was an interesting tidbit going, wow, could you remember like the days before pagers, cell phones, anything, and they were writing on scraps of paper or paper plates or just carving it into the wood of the tree?
Like the first Pinterest.
Yes.
Do you think they're planning on like putting it in a museum as a piece?
Yeah, I wonder if they saved like a slab and they could like put resin on it so it, you know, it doesn't rot anymore, I guess, and like preserve it.
Well, I know that they said that the tree, right, it literally is in almost every single picture that someone took of the stage. And looking down from the top of the hill, the tree was in the bottom corner. So it's like the thing stood the test of time is what they were saying. And so to the lost is both nostalgic and melancholy is what they were describing it today. So
wow.
I hope that they would put it somewhere. You know, they're saying its meaning will not fade away, the people that knew it was there. But they're seeking proposals to create works of art using the salvageable wood from the tree.
Okay. So they're doing something.
Okay.
And they said that the works will be exhibited next year at the museum. And it also has several saplings made from grafts from the message tree. So to me, that's doing something. You know, they said they'll host a regenerative planting ceremony and one of those trees could be planted at the site. Yeah.
Like a message tree forest or something. Kind of cool.
Right. And they said that there's the symbolism of planting something that will be the next message tree for the next generation. So I think that's pretty
cool. The next Woodstock.
Woodstock 2, electric.
Whatever that is. You know, like, you know, the next Burning Man. You know, that's what, like, it's kind of Woodstock's become Burning Man. Like, you know, you just kind of evolve with it and it's the next thing.
Well, I like to tell you that there's somebody on our page that are saying hi to us. Goes by the name Guy Andriola, but I know it's Donna James Viedruck. I think she's going incognito because I recognize the name on our page. So hello, we're giving you a shout out if you're watching. I see her coming in. And I see something different in the corner of your screen up there, Danielle.
Oh.
What do you have today?
This is actually a bit of a memorial. This is kind of special. This is Zabo, the acid breathing dragon. This is actually my friend who passed. And he was a very good friend of mine. But before he passed, he wanted to be a dragon in the book. Most of my dragons are dogs. They're pets. You know, all my dragons, my dog, Los is in it. But Zabo was actually my neurologist and my mentor for about 10 years. And so he read all the books. He had a lot of opinions about them, a lot of opinions. So I told him I would put him in the book. And I said, okay, what do you want to be? And he said, I can't be a light fae because I don't agree with Aurora. I can't be a dark fae because I don't like what Jarvok's doing. So I said, all right, what do you want to be? And we were going through it. And he said, I want to be a dragon. And so we went through all of it. And he said, I want to be an acid breathing dragon.
And so he became Zabo the Acid Breathing Dragon, and this was his official portrait. Unfortunately, he passed away in April. But his plan was, because he was a neurologist and he was head of neurology, he was going to take this picture and switch it out with his doctor portrait on the floor and see if anybody noticed. So that was, yeah, that was what he was going to do. He had the greatest sense of humor ever. He is now getting his own book called The Legend of Zabo. But the best part was when I would go see him, the last time I saw him was a year ago. I went in his office and he said, "Can you give me my full title?" And I said, "You're Zabo, the Acid Breathing Dragon of the Court of Dark." And he goes, "Hold on." And he was typing and he turned his screen around. He went, "Is that it?" And I looked at him, I went, "Yeah." And I go, "Why?" He goes, "Oh, I'm changing my internal email signature to say that." And I went, "You can't say that." And all of a sudden he hit send and all his phone just started ringing. Mm-hmm. And I went, "What are you doing?" And he put it on speaker and all I hear is, "Your favorite patient there, the author." And he goes, and he starts giggling. And they were like, "You can't change your signature like that." And he goes, "Yes, I can." Click. And the phone just kept ringing with people going, "You can't do this." And he's like, "I'm the head of neurology. Yes, I can." Click. And he kept just for the next 5 minutes, the phone calls kept coming in like that. And so he said, "The minute I get my portrait, send it to me." He's like, because when you walked in, there were all pictures of the neurologist. He's like, "I'm going to go and I'm going to switch mine out with the dragon and see if anybody notices." He just thought it was going to be the funniest thing to do this. Aww. So we didn't get a chance to do it. This was at his memorial. But yes, he was just really awesome. He had a great sense of humor. And so this will be a dragon tarot card. And he got, when I redid the books, he got an expanded part in all of the books. Aww. And he's an engineer for the dragon, for his dragon faction. But yeah, I keep him kind of watching over me because he was a very, very good friend of mine, but he just had a very sick sense of humor that, you know, when I thought I was facing brain surgery, when my aneurysm changed, I went to see him and my eye was really blown out and stuff. And he looked at me, he went, "Okay, I'm gonna ask you a serious question." And I was like, "Okay." He goes, "What drugs were you on last night? Was it worth it?" And I just looked at him, I went, "What?" And he goes, "I'm kidding you. I'm kidding. Stop, stop, stop. I'm totally kidding." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "But we're probably opening up your skull tonight." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Follow me." He goes, "Oh, that's right. You can't walk a straight line. That's okay, kiddo." And he just kept laughing the whole time. And aww. I was like, "Are you going to cut my hair?" And he goes, "That's the least of your worries. But yes, I'm going to shave your head. Yes." And just kept laughing. Like, that's what he did. He just made everything funny, even when it was just dire. And he made you laugh. So yes, aww, that's Zabo the Acid Breathing Dragon. And that's my guy.
He'd be proud of that card right there. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
You. Really spectacular.
Yeah, Pandy Van is my dragon illustrator. Thank you. She actually took his portrait and made it that. And those are his seal blue scrubs that he wore all the time without shoes. And he'd get in trouble for that as well.
There you go.
So yeah, he was awesome. But that's Zabo. So thank you.
God bless Zabo and his bedside manner, which is really great. It's really great. Well, I can't believe it's getting close to that hour already. Mark has apologized because he could not get on. His internet just would not let him come on from California. But that's what happens when you live on the West Coast. I'm going to go with that. Just,
2 weeks in a row, but we'll get him next time. Okay. We'll get him next time.
Yeah. We got time. We got time. And then you know what? He just didn't want to face me in the giant belt.
Well, that's what I think it was, because he was on for a split second. And I think he saw that and he just got scared and he ran. And he totally ran. That's what I think happened.
That's what it was. I'm going to go with that.
But that gives me another segue for Born to Risk. He was not willing to risk this show on the Giants. That's what I think. That's what I really think. But Born to Risk, the book is out now. You can DM me if you'd like a signed autograph copy. I will get that out to you. You can find me on all social media for Born to Risk. And I do have to say this because I've been on so many interviews today, but I have to bring it up. You know it's coming. You know it is, right?
I know.
Yeah, it's The Mission to Mars by Nectar. Nectar, the legendary rock band. And I'm proud to say that we've spoken to booking agents and all, and probably going back out again around Thanksgiving into December, and then possibly Europe again in March and April, and doing a whole tour over there. So I'm very, very excited. And you can get your Mission to Mars at Nectar's Music. That's N-E-K-T-A-R-S music.com. So I'm letting you know, if you have not taken your mission yet, you can. Mark's taking
very
a mission.
Cool.
Mark's taking a mission that he has to be on by next week, or he is in big trouble.
I'm starting to think it's us. Like, I'm taking it personally now a little bit.
I think so.
That, but, or, you know, or it's Ryan Reynolds' fault. Once again, we brought it right back to Ryan Reynolds.
Well, he could take it as personally as he wants, because we are out of time. We've waited the entire hour, so he's out. God. And you've heard from Tyler, and he's sporting a crate shirt if you see him live. So it's pretty cool. Thank you, Tyler, for being you. And I am Marian Castell, along with Danielle Arsino and our chosen producer, Tyler. Mark, of course, MIA on Liberty Bell Smack. We'll be back next week on Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. primetime drive time for you folks in the East. And it's time to count it down. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right.
Ready. Five.
Five.
Four.
Four. Three.
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 Two,
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 one,
one.
Liberty Bell Mac.
That's what I'm talking about.